From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Arun Roth. Welcome to Consider This, from Boston, where former state representative Jeff Diehl is entering the GOP primary for governor in next year's race. WBUR's Steve Brown has been following the story. Hey, Steve.
Hi, Arun.
So, as most people know, I think polls consistently show Charlie Baker is one of the most popular governors in the country. But he hasn't said yet whether he's going to run for a third term. And we know that there's been discord in the state's Republican Party. What does Diehl's entry into the race say about all that?
Well, it tells me there are forces within the Republican Party in Massachusetts that want to run a candidate who's more in line with their ideology than that of the incumbent, who they say is a Republican in name only, or as they say, rhino. They're not afraid to poke Charlie Baker in the eye. They're disappointed that Baker never supported Donald Trump, which has become somewhat a litmus test for determining Republican loyalty. Baker's relied on independents to get him elected. He faced token opposition from his right flank in the 2014 and 2018 primaries. He'll need to convince enough independent voters to pull a Republican primary ballot in 2022 to ensure that he is the party's nominee in November. Because, frankly, if just registered Republicans turn out for that primary, Diehl could win it.
And is it all about Trump, or is there some more distance, you know, in terms of ideology to take Baker on from the right?
Well, I think that Diehl will be framing his candidacy as an anti-tax, pro-small business candidate. You got to look at the election results from 2020. Trump did not do well here. Trump does well within that, core Republican Party. But Diehl has got to go beyond that if he wants to try to attract anybody outside of that core. He earned props from anti-tax voters by being the public face of a referendum back in 2014 to repeal the state's automatic gasoline tax. That repeal was successful. Diehl also touts himself as a candidate for small business owners. He and his wife own a dance studio in Hanson. He's been well-liked by conservatives in the party. So look for him to appeal to them as opposed to moderate Republicans who are more aligned with the incumbent, Charlie Baker.
And has Governor Baker reacted to Diehl's entry?
We haven't heard anything as of yet, although he hasn't had any public appearances since Diehl announced his candidacy on Sunday. I'm sure that the governor will be asked about this the next time he fields questions from all of us reporters. He tends to deflect those types of questions. We still don't know if Baker is going to run for a third term. He says he's been discussing it with his family. I'm sure that will have a huge bearing on his final decision. One thing to note, though, from looking at campaign finance reports, there had been a lot of buzz in recent months that Baker hasn't been raising a lot of money. But it looks like now he has turned on the money spigot. He raked in almost $91,000 in the month of June. That's a huge jump from the $3,400 that he raised in May.
So assuming Baker does run for re-election, in terms of this primary between him and Diehl, do you see this being competitive?
Well, Baker needs to take this challenge seriously, without a doubt. As I mentioned, he has to convince enough independent voters to pull a Republican ballot in the primary. Republican voters alone, because they are so few and so conservative, won't be enough for Baker. Now, were it Diehl to beat Baker in the primary, I could see Baker launching an independent bid because of his popularity, especially among independents and even among moderate and conservative Democrats. He could change gears and run as an independent.
And does this have any impact on the dynamics for the Democratic side of things and the Democratic primary for governor?
Yeah, I really can't answer that question until we find out whether Baker is going to go for that third term. Now, if Baker is in, does the Democratic field stay pretty much as it is? Or if he should announce that he's not going to seek a third term, would Democrats on the sidelines, think Mara Healey or Joe Kennedy, might they see a path to victory and decide to compete? I think Democrats feel they have a better shot to recapture the corner office if Baker stays out. Remember, Jeff Diehl has run statewide once before, and he could only muster 36% of the vote.
All very interesting. Steve, thank you.
Thank you, Arun.
That's WBUR's Steve Brown. Before we go, I should tell you what else is up. A spate of recent drownings has led state officials, including Governor Charlie Baker, to offer a range of measures to boost water safety around the state. But the Department of Conservation and Recreation is facing pushback after banning open water swimming at Walden Pond. Raina Demu from Nahant said limiting swimming to enclosed areas isn't going to help.
You're not going to just eliminate drownings just because you make it a smaller box, right? You know, you can fall in your bathtub and drown.
Several state legislators are gathering support for an effort to convince DCR to reverse the open water ban at Walden, and a public petition has gathered thousands of signatures. In other news, a state task force wants to change the rules around organ donation in Massachusetts. To become an organ donor currently, you must sign up first. But the Massachusetts Task Force on Pulmonary Hypertension has now issued a report recommending all residents automatically opt in for organ donation unless they specifically ask not to be included. That's the opposite of the current system, according to Aaron Waxman, a heart doctor at Brigham and Women's Hospital who helped write the report.
We know that the vast majority of Americans do believe in organ donation, but never get to the point of filling out the form. This should open the door for people to more often be donors.
Four U.S. states and 25 European countries have already adopted some form of an opt-out system for organ donations. And finally, here's some encouraging news. The rate of euthanasia at animal shelters in Massachusetts is dropping. Data analysis from the Best Friends Animal Society finds 10% more animals that entered shelters were saved last year compared to the year prior. But the Society's Hannah Stember says the Commonwealth is not yet considered a no-kill state. For that designation, each shelter would have to save at least 90% of the animals it houses.
So in 2020, about 21% of state shelters measured above that benchmark, and those that were below it needed to save an estimated 1,620 more healthy or treatable animals in order to make Massachusetts no-kill.
Overall, Massachusetts shelters saved more than 84% of animals taken in last year. So we're not a no-kill state just yet, but we have made serious progress. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo since a rescue and a good home, I'm Arun Roth. Be well. You like podcasts. Here's one more you might enjoy. From the producers of GBH's Antiques Roadshow, Detours is a podcast about what happens to all those antiques after the cameras leave town. Join Adam Monahan, longtime producer of Roadshow, for stories of sales, fakes, and even federal crimes. Subscribe to Detours wherever you get your podcasts.